Our first speaker is Professor David Mott from the School of Pharmacy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. His office is on the other end of State Street, right here on the Madison campus. He's also affiliated with the Sonderegger Research Center for Social and Administrative Pharmacy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He spent a tremendous amount of time helping us plan this seminar, and I want to publicly thank you for that, Dave. He does research on pharmacy labor economics, prescription drug insurance, and employer-employee decisions regarding health insurance. He's published over 30 scientific articles on prescription drugs, and he's given presentations all over the country. He is co-author with Professor David Kreling and Professor Joseph Wiederholt of a trend book, a chart book on prescription drug trends, which was recently published by the Kaiser Family Foundation. It's getting a tremendous amount of attention across the country. The ordering information for our hard copy is in your briefing report and also the web address if you'd like to download a copy. He's also a licensed pharmacist here in Wisconsin. He's really been great to work with. I remember the first time I talked with you, Dave, and I asked him how to spell his last name, and he said it was Mott, just like the applesauce. And then you told me, I don't know if you remember saying this, that you and your wife had thought of naming your child Tom Mott, and then he would only have to learn three letters of the alphabet, and he'd be able to spell his whole name. So that resonated with me. I can remember trying to teach my kids to spell Bogenschneider before they went to school. So I would like to put in a vote for Tom Mott. So today, Professor Mott's topic is, why are prescription drug costs rising? Let's give him a round of applause.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Before I get started, I would also like to thank Karen for allowing me to help her plan this conference. It's been a great experience for me to work with her and see how much work, hard work goes into planning one of these conferences. It's been a great experience for me. I want to spend my time this morning showing you the trends in expenditures for prescription drugs and then discussing some of the factors that are associated with the expenditure trends. But before I get started, I would like to acknowledge two of my colleagues, one of which is here, Dr. Dave Kreling, and then also Dr. Joseph Wiederholt at the university, with whom I worked on this project. Also, the Sonderegger Research Center for Administrative Support and the Kaiser Family Foundation, the funders of our research. There is no doubt that prescription drugs have grabbed our attention. Although spending for prescription drugs represents only 9% of personal health care spending, we are sensitive to prescription drug spending since out-of-pocket costs can be sizable, producing a shock at the cost. We remember that. Also, maybe some snide remarks to pharmacists about how much things cost. And prescription spending tends to occur more frequently, i.e., going in for monthly refills, compared to other spending for healthcare services. So when comparing annual national expenditures for hospital care, physician services, and prescription drugs, one would not be too excited about prescription drug expenditures. Spending for hospital care and physician services are about 4 times and 2.5 times, respectively, the spending for prescription drugs. However, if I were to tell you that prescription drug spending was expected to grow to $243 billion, or roughly 170% by 2008, that would raise some eyebrows. Indeed, it is the rate of growth of prescription drug expenditures that has piqued interest, the yellow bars here. Since 1994, the annual rate of growth of spending for prescription drugs has been 2 to 4 times the annual rate of growth of other major healthcare components. The annual spending rate has been at double-digit levels since 1995, thus increasing the awareness of prescription drug spending to policymakers. So what factors have contributed to the growth in spending for prescription drugs? We can think of expenditures as being influenced by two things. First, price, and second, volume, or the number of prescriptions that are dispensed. I would like to share with you some of the trends in each one of these components. Starting with volume, or utilization. This slide shows trends in the number of prescriptions dispensed and trend in prescriptions per capita. Between 1992 and 1998, the total number of dispensed prescriptions, the solid line at the top, increased 37%, while the average number of prescriptions per capita increased 32%. And during the same time period, the U.S. population grew 6%. By 2005, it is estimated that 4 billion prescriptions will be dispensed in the United States, which is nearly 1.5 times the number dispensed in 1998. Now, this growth in volume mainly is due to the aging of the population. This slide shows the average number of prescriptions prescribed by age and gender in 1997. And between the ages of 45 and 75, prescription use nearly triples, from an overall average of 4.3 prescriptions to 11.4 prescriptions per person per year. And just a note about this slide, these data come from a study looking at newly prescribed medications. So we're not considering medications that people are already taking when they go to the physician for a visit. The second factor contributing to expenditure growth is drug price inflation. This slide shows the trend in pharmaceutical manufacturer price inflation for existing drugs between 1987 and 1999. The rate of price inflation dropped following passage of OBRA 90, which required rebates for the Medicaid program and increased rebates if price growth exceeded inflation. Manufacturer price increases have increased a little bit since 1996, although no growth has been over 4.2%. Now, price increases by manufacturers, however, do not tell the whole story regarding price changes, because indices measuring price inflation fail sometimes to adjust for the qualitative aspect of drug use or the use of different types of drug products. A better figure, which is represented in this slide, is the average retail price of prescriptions, since it accounts for changes in the types of products used. This slide shows the trend in average retail price of all prescriptions and prescriptions dispensed with brand name, the gray bars, and generic drug products, the yellow bars. First, notice there's been an upward shift in the overall average retail price of prescriptions from $23.68 in 1991 to $43.06 in 1999, or an 82% growth over that time period in average retail price. Now, an example of changes in types of drugs dispensed is the relative use of brand name and generic drug products. The average retail price of prescriptions dispensed with brand name products, again the gray bar, historically has been about 3 times the price of prescriptions dispensed with generic drugs. Thus, the proportion of prescriptions that are dispensed with brand name and generic drugs play a significant role in determining the average retail price of prescriptions and ultimately expenditures. Now, since changes in types of drug products dispensed influence price, as does price inflation, we can compare the annual change in average retail price of prescriptions to manufacturer price inflation, which is represented on this slide. Since 1994, the contribution to growth in retail price has been due more to the types of products used rather than growth in manufacturer price inflation. This implies the use of more expensive drug products over this time period. So far I've discussed how utilization changes, price inflation, and then changes in the types of products has influenced expenditures. This slide shows the relative contribution of these three components: price inflation, utilization changes, and changes in types of products dispensed between 1993 and 1998. Price inflation alone, the white segment, has played the smallest role, while changes in utilization, the yellow, or I guess that's green, and the types of products used, the blue, have had the largest effects on expenditure growth. Now, given that changes in the types of products dispensed is so important, I want to focus the rest of my talk on this aspect. Changes in the type of products used can result, like I said, from either brand or generic or generic drugs replacing brand name drugs, or we can also have new drug therapies replacing older drug therapies. And the cost implications of both of these effects are shown in this slide. First, the differential in cost for brand name and generic drugs is shown here for two therapeutic categories, antidepressants and anti-ulcerants. For anti-ulcerants, the cost difference between the brand name drug Tagamet, which is the first anti-ulcer drug approved for sale in 1976, is nearly eight times the cost of its generic equivalent, cimetidine. Another example, over in the antidepressant category, is the brand name drug Elavil, which is nearly 18 times more expensive than its generic equivalent, amitriptyline. In terms of new drugs, we can also look at these two therapeutic categories. The drug Prilosec is a new treatment method for ulcers, and it costs nearly 15% more per day than therapy with Tagamet, the first such anti-ulcerant. Among antidepressants, the new therapy Prozac costs about three times more per day than this older brand name therapy Elavil. So given these dynamics, generic drugs cheaper than brand name drugs, newer products more expensive than older brand name products, what has occurred in terms of the use of brand name and generic drugs and newer drug products? Now, this slide shows the relative trend in the proportion of prescriptions that have been dispensed with brand name and generic drugs. And between 1991 and 1998, the proportion of prescriptions dispensed with generic drugs has increased from 33% to 44.6%, or about a 36% increase. So an increase in generic drugs. In terms of new drugs, however, there is evidence that newer therapies in therapeutic categories are used extensively, often replacing older, still effective therapies. The use of newer, more expensive brand name therapies may be a reason why we have this flattening trend between 1995 and 98 in the proportion of prescriptions that are dispensed with generic drugs. Clearly, there's a shift here in the slope of that line, and it's possible that it is due to the replacement of either generic products or older brand name products with newer therapies that tend to be more expensive. Okay. Now, several characteristics of the prescription drug market likely are associated with the use of more brand name, newer pharmaceuticals. New products become available as a result of research by pharmaceutical firms. This slide shows the trend in domestic and foreign spending by pharmaceutical manufacturers in research and development. And R&D spending has increased from $1.1 billion in 1975 to the mystery number, which is $21.1 billion in 1998. And interestingly, R&D spending by the top 10 firms in the United States has remained fairly stable at about 10% of prescription sales. Okay. Now, the second characteristic associated with increased use of pharmaceuticals in general, and particularly the use of new pharmaceuticals, is the promotion of pharmaceuticals by manufacturers. And promotion occurs in several ways, including detailing, which involves sales representatives going to physician offices and providing information or samples of products, journal advertising in medical journals and lay journals, displays and presentations at meetings and events, and direct-to-consumer advertising. And this slide breaks down the expenditures for each one of these components, and as you can see, the proportion of promotional dollars that are spent on detailing is the largest segment, which again is that visits to doctor's offices and sampling. But it's also interesting to note that each one of these components has grown in terms of the amount of money that's being devoted to them, so we have a large increase in promotion. Now, in 1995, the Food Drug Administration revised requirements for direct-to-consumer advertising, promoting the use of direct-to-consumer advertising by manufacturers. And not surprisingly, as a result of those changes, the amount of money spent on direct-to-consumer advertising has tripled since 1995 and 1998, which is shown here in these slides. So this spending is responsible for all the ads that we see on TV for pharmaceuticals. Okay. Now the final factor, but certainly not the least, and arguably the most important associated with use in general and possibly the use of newer prescription drugs, is the rate and type of prescription drug insurance coverage in the United States. Here we see the prevalence of insurance coverage and source for that coverage for the non-Medicare population. Majority of people in the non-Medicare population receive their prescription drug insurance from their employer at 61%, followed by 11% from state Medicaid programs. And a similar slide for the Medicare population. Roughly 31% of the Medicare population in 1996 did not have prescription drug insurance, and of those that did, 31% received that coverage from their employer, and then another 11% received that coverage from state Medicaid programs. Okay. Now, as seen in this slide, insurance coverage can result in the use of more prescription medications compared to the uninsured persons. This 21.1 for insured versus 16 versus uninsured Medicare population. Or the use of more expensive drug products, $36.38 per prescription for those with coverage versus $28.92 for people without coverage. An additional characteristic of private and public prescription drug insurance programs is they typically require patients to pay only a small portion out of pocket at the time of dispensing for a prescription, in other words, copayments. As seen here, copayment levels typically are much less than the average retail price paid by people who have either indemnity insurance, where they pay the full retail price, submit the claim, and are reimbursed, or the uninsured population. Thus, as patients pay only a small portion of the cost of each prescription, they may use either more expensive prescription drugs, either by using more brand name drugs, here people with these copayment type insurance systems, 58% of the prescriptions are for brand name drugs compared to about 50% for people who are paying cash, or uninsured, or indemnity. Or possibly they're using proportionally more newer prescription drug products. So in summary, increased use of prescription drugs and changes in the types of products used have contributed most to the increase in prescription drug expenditures, and prescription drug price inflation has played a much smaller part. In terms of factors that really drive the growth in expenditures, the aging of the population, the continued development and promotion of new drug products, and in the way in which prescription drug coverage is structured, i.e. how people pay for medications, and then mechanisms that are implemented to control costs, are all factors that likely will continue to impact the growth in expenditures for prescription drugs. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Mott. We're going to take questions now, and Jessica has a mic. We tape this for legislators who have to commute long distance to the Capitol, so we'd like you to speak into the mic. Here we have a question.
Good morning. Thank you for a good presentation, Professor. You pointed to two trends, one that consumer promotional advertising has increased dramatically, also that a big part of the increase in costs has been the increased utilization of non-generics and new therapies. Have there been any studies finding a relationship between the two, and what studies are you aware of?
I am aware of some reports that have been developed by some health management groups where they're associating the increase in expenditures to certain groups of products that are heavily promoted by the pharmaceutical industry. Simply looking at a graph of what's happening with the expenditures for a certain product and then looking at the graph of the expenditures, promotional expenditures for that product.
Again, good morning. One of your slides show a comparison of an older drug versus a new drug. Is there any comparisons on effectiveness? Because the Tagamet and the Prilosec comparison, many times there's a higher dosage that's required for the same accomplishment. Do you have those types of figures?
In terms of effectiveness, no, I mean, they exist. I don't have them with me. That's a good point. I mean, the effectiveness differences, say, of Prilosec versus Tagamet or Prozac versus Elavil, amitriptyline, very good questions or very good issues. I didn't want to say kind of the normative side of things, you know, what should be used and what shouldn't be used. It's just that in a lot of these situations, there are products out there that are new or old generic brand that are still very effective. They're still used. They're still very popular. They can be used. And it's just a matter that there is this wide variety of products out there. Some of them may work better for certain patients. Some may work worse for certain patients. So effectiveness definitely is an issue. I just wanted to present that these things are out there and that there are cost differences and the dynamics of that cost difference and how they potentially influence price and expenditures.
Good morning. I noticed your one chart on the cost, the detailing versus direct-to-consumer promotion, ends with 1998. And I'm wondering, for 99 and 2000, is there anything going on for more recent data? I guess having watched a television show last night in an hour period and seeing six different pharmaceutical commercials in that 1 hour period, it's pretty clear that there's a trend away from this type of percentage that you're throwing out in this graph. So I'm wondering, is there something that we might see soon giving a more recent picture?
Yeah, actually, we're working currently, Dr. Kraling, myself, and Dr. Wiederholt, on updating our chart book. Like you said, a lot of these charts stopped in 97 or 98. There's been such a demand for the book and an updated material that we will be updating that. I know we have, I believe, Dave, we have some of those numbers, but we're continually searching for them.
Just to jump in, I'm Dave Kreeling. I've looked at it maybe a little more closely than Dave has in trying to find some of the recent numbers. The direct-to-consumer things are growing, and they're the fastest growth area for promotion with the pharmaceutical industry. But the detailing part, the personal selling part that includes the sampling and so forth, that continues to grow, but at a little less of a pace. So if you want to say, has the overall proportions changed? Not dramatically. There may be a couple percent more of the total in direct consumer, but if we break the proportions out, we're still getting the same kind of a following.
Is there a direct effect on generic versus brand name drugs? I mean, is that the goal?
The question was whether there's having a direct effect on generic versus brand name drugs. Sure.
Yeah, I guess along that same point about the effect on it, I'm working on some research right now looking at the types of products that are prescribed and specifically across insurance types that patients have. And there's definitely an effect of these insurance systems on reducing the opportunity for generic drug use. In other words, the use, the prescribing of these single source brand name newer products in 96, 97. So there is some effect there of moving prescribing away from generic drugs.
Our last question.
Yeah, on one of your pie charts, you showed that the retail cost of increase of drugs was much higher than the wholesale cost increase, as I recall. And in other charts, you gave reasons for it, i.e. the increase in research and development costs as far as wholesale costs are concerned. But maybe I missed it, but I'm not clear as to the reasons for the increase, more rapid increase in the cost, the retail costs of drugs.
I think the point I was trying to make with that, the retail growth, is if you're just using manufacturer price inflation indices, they tend to control, or they don't account for these qualitative differences in the type of products that are prescribed as quickly as a figure like the average retail price, which is going to factor in better the type of products that are being used. So the rapid or the larger increase in average retail price is due to the fact that we have a different mix of brand and generic products, or we're using these newer, typically more expensive products more than we were in previous years.